All right. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 9 of the Flannel Panel Conjugate Podcast. On tonight's episode, I don't really know what we're going to talk about. I'm going through some stuff right now where I'm really, really angry all the time. And I don't know why. I'm incredibly frustrated, and I'm incredibly just, like, angry doesn't even begin to encapsulate what I feel. And like I said, I don't know why I'm experiencing this emotion right now, but I think I wanted to talk about, I think, the importance of recognizing and honoring those feelings when you have them. Because I think a lot of the time, especially as men or with men, we get into these situations where we start going through some mental or emotional issues, and because we're men and because the way that society looks at, you know, male behavior and male psyche and all that kind of stuff, we get told that we should just, like, we just need to toughen up and deal with it. And I don't think that's an appropriate way of going through it. And I think it's important that we, again, that we recognize and that we honor and respect the feelings that we have when we have them. And this is not really going to be a lifting related episode. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm sure we'll talk about lifting at some point, just because that's what we do. We talk about lifting. But yeah, so I've been dealing with this, like, this rage for the last, like, week, maybe longer, I don't know. And it's like it can get so intense where literally my brain feels like it's on fire. I'm so angry. And I don't know why. You know, maybe it's hormonal. Maybe I'm on my cycle. I'm just joking. You know, but everything is good right now. Like, in my life, everything is good. Life is good. You know, work is going fine. There's nothing wrong with work right now. You know, we're coming to the close of our year. You know, if the academic year isn't already over, it's just about to be, you know, and so we're winding down as far as the amount of athletes we have in the weight room, and we're transitioning into our summer programming and our summer hours, which are going to be much more convenient and much less stressful than what we're at right now or what we were running this year. And, you know, lifting is going great. If you just heard a can crack open, it's because I'm drinking a Truly, so pardon me for a moment. You know, lifting, again, I said, you know, that I didn't think this was going to be a lifting-related episode, but here we are. You know, lifting is such, like, a foundational aspect of my life. You know, and I don't want to be one of those guys that says that when lifting is going good, everything else goes well, you know, or that when lifting goes poorly, that everything else is going poorly. But I think that's, you know, I mean, it definitely has something to do with it, you know. And like I was saying, you know, lifting is going really, really well. My training is going exceptionally well. You know, I had a great bench session the other night. Squats are going really well. Deadlifts are, like, everything is going fine. And the more that I just, like, sit here and talk about this, and, like, I think this is what this episode is going to be, is just, you know, basically an insight into what I feel. And it's just going to be my way of, you know, basically self-counseling, you know, giving, like, you know, autonomic therapy, if you want to call it that, or whatever you want to call it, you know, masturbatory therapy. but you know, when your life is going well, and when there's nothing that you can, like, sit there and complain about, but you're really angry all the time, it's an interesting concept. It's an interesting situation to be in, because maybe you don't understand why. You don't know why, and that's where I'm at. Like, today, I went to Walmart to buy a pillow. And as I'm in the checkout line, or, like, I'm at, like, the cashier or the self-checkout, and there's this little kid just being a kid. And, like, swinging something around you know, like, I don't know what she had in her hand, but it was just something. And she was just swinging it around and like, didn't hit me, didn't do anything. But I swear to God, I had to like take a breath because I was about to pop off on this little kid. And like, it made me kind of check myself for a minute, you know, where it's like, what is going on? Why are you so angry? And again, I don't know why I'm so angry, but I think it's important that we recognize and that we address those issues when they start to come up, because, you know, it's important, because if you don't let it go, or if you let it go unchecked, if you let it go unrecognized and untreated, you know, that's when you really start developing a problem, I think. You know, it's one thing to feel anger, and it's one thing even to feel rage. You know, it's one thing to feel emotions in the extreme, because, you know, we're human. And, you know, humans, you know, we're capable of such this like drastic range of emotional capacity for both good and bad. You know, like we can feel happy very, very strongly. We can love very deeply, and we can hate exponentially, you know? And so when you start feeling something, I think it's important that we pay attention to it and that we give it the respect that it deserves, you know, because when you let it go unchecked, like I was trying to say, when you let it go unchecked, that's when you start developing a problem, you know, and that's when it can turn into an issue. And that's when things start really going south, because it's one thing just to be mad. It's even just one thing to be angry all the time, but it's another thing to not do anything about it. And so I think it's like, I think what I'm trying to talk about here is how do you deal with it? How do you handle rage like that? You know, we're literally like, you know, the term, you know, your blood boils, you know, it's just a term. Like it's just a, you know, an extreme statement of how you're feeling, you know. But that's what I feel right now. Is it like literally I get so mad that my brain feels like it's on fire. And it changes my whole world when that happens. And I don't know what to do about it, to be honest. I really don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to fix it right now. You know, I mean, I'm definitely a proponent of therapy and of counseling, because I think those are super important, especially for men. I mean, that's not to say that it's not important for women by any means, you know, but I think that as men, you know, like I said before, we get pushed into these categories, we get pushed into these, you know, we try to fit a square hole or a square peg in a round hole, and we're told just to shut up and just to deal with it, you know, but I don't think that's appropriate. I think it's important that we deal with it, but I don't really think that this is something that like, that requires, you know, a counseling intervention, you know, like there's nothing going on in my life, at least on the surface, you know, maybe there's definitely stuff. There's always stuff down below. You know, there's always, you know, this like more profound, more significant, deeper thing going on in my life, you know, and sometimes I don't even know what it is, but there's always something happening. And, you know, when I sometimes question, you know, is it now, let me back up. Like I said, people, humans, we feel very deeply, you know, we're capable of extreme measures and extreme levels of emotional capacity and experience and perception, you know, and I've often questioned of myself, is it appropriate, like, should I allow myself to feel this deeply? Should I give myself as much emotional freedom as I do, or do I need to truncate it? You know, because when you start feeling really deeply, you know, it changes everything. You know, it changes how you interact with the world and how you interact with people, you know. And I mean, we all know what it feels like to have deep emotions, you know. Like, I'm not saying that I'm anything special by any means, you know, or that I feel something that other people don't, you know. But I question, you know, should I allow myself to feel this deeply, or should I truncate it? Should I cut it off? You know, should I batten down the hatches, so to speak, and, you know, minimize the amount of emotion that I feel? You know, and I don't know if there's a right answer for that. You know, I think if you again, if you allow yourself to like to truly feel, and if you allow your heart and your soul to be completely open, you know, you open yourself up to vulnerability, and you open yourself up to a lot of pain and a lot of suffering and a lot of frustration, you know, but you also open yourself up to a lot of really fantastic possibilities, you know, and a lot of really positive things as well. You know, and if you start shutting yourself off to the world, you know, you start losing touch with all the good things that are out there, you know, because yeah, you know, there's terrible things out there, and you can feel terrible emotions and terrible feelings and have terrible thoughts, you know, but there's also such good out there, you know, and like, I mean, love is this, like, can be this exquisite thing, you know, like to really feel connected to somebody or with somebody, you know, is a feeling. If you've ever felt that like real connection with somebody, you know, that real intimate, you know, profound spiritual connection to somebody, like, you know what that feels like. And I think what happens is that we get into that situation where we feel that with somebody, and if we lose it, we end up chasing it for the rest of our lives. And we try to find it again. You know, like we all just want to be loved. I'm starting to sound really fucking hokey here. You know, oh, we just want to be loved, and we just want to love, but it's the truth. You know, we just want to feel love, and we want to be loved, and we want to love somebody. Like, that's what we're here for. You know, I was having a conversation with a friend via text the other day, and they were telling me that they're having this like spiritual awakening, and where they're coming to this realization where we are all just souls experiencing the earth, experiencing this particular existence, and that really nothing that we do matters. And, you know, I, on some level, I agree. You know, that, you know, we are, if you, you know, whether you believe in the afterlife, whether you believe in God, or if you have faith or religion, or if you're a spiritual person, or whatever, however you want to look at it, you know, whatever your personal belief, whatever your individual belief and practice is, you know, that's your business, and that's up to you. You know, that shapes your world outlook. You know, but I agree. You know, I think we are these spiritual creatures, you know, like, you know, we're, at the end of the day, we're just a smart fucking animal. You know, really, if you really want to get down to brass tacks, we're a smart fucking animal who managed to make fire and eat cooked meat, and that fucking accelerated us above and beyond our primate cousins. You know, but we're these spiritual creatures, and we have, you know, whether you want to call it a soul, or whether you want to call it a spirit, or whether you want to call it an essence, whatever you want to call it, we have this spiritual center within us, you know, that is really the foundation of everything that we do. You know, like, we want to nurture our soul and nurture our spirit, and we want to have a happy soul and a happy spirit. You know, we don't want to live life through, you know, in misery. Like, we spend the entirety of our life, you know, chasing happiness and doing things that make us happy and avoiding things that cause us discomfort. You know, we want to be happy and we want to be comfortable. We don't want to be sad and we don't want to be uncomfortable. You know, so we spend our entire lives chasing this emotional state, this spiritual state of, you know, elevated happiness and elevated contentment. You know, but really, what does it all matter? You know, like, what value? So we all have this, like, this sphere of influence, right? And this sphere of connectivity, you know, 6 degrees of separation with somebody, you know, whatever you want to call it. We all have a network, you know, and we have these, think about it like this, think about it like concentric circles, right? Or like, you know, like an atom, or, you know, like there's the nucleus, and that's you, you know, and then there's these particles that orbit around you, and those are the people who are closest to you, right? And then the further out you get, like, there may still be things orbiting around you, but they're further and further out, and so they have less and less influence on your life, and they play less of a role in your existence. And I don't know what the fuck I'm trying to talk about here, and I'm just talking out of my ass. you know, but what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we have this like sphere of influence, you know, and this sphere of connectivity with the world around us. And as you get further out from that center, from that focal point, the degree to which things matter gets less and less. So like, so I have, you know, my mom, my dad, my brother, you know, they're my, as the saying goes, my nuclear family, you know, my immediate sphere of influence, my immediate sphere of value or of importance, significance, you know, and then I have friends, and I have friends of, you know, different degrees, you know, some people I'm very, very close with, and other people, you know, I'm more of an acquaintance with, and that's not just me, that's everybody, right? We all have best friend or best friends, you know, or we have people who we're very close with, and then we have people with whom, you know, we just have familiar acquaintances, you know, and then we have people who maybe we kind of know, and then they're strangers, you know. So the further out you get from this nucleus, the further you get out from your center point, the less things matter. And so what I'm getting at is that when you start looking at things on a cosmic scale, and I swear to God, I'm sober, minus the one sip of Truly that I've had. And I'm definitely not high, you know, but as you get further away from your center point, the less things matter. And so when you start talking about things on a cosmic scale, when you start talking about the existence of one human being in relation or relative to the existence of the universe, like, we are dust in the wind. We're not even dust. You know, we are literally a microcosmic, you know, particle drifting along the cosmic winds. We don't mean fucking shit. And so that, you know, that makes me question, like, why be so angry? What value does being angry have? You know, but then the question, but that begs the question also, you know, what value does being happy have? You know, and so what do? Do we exist in just this neutral state of nothingness? You know, or do we try to, you know, live the best life that we have while we're here? Excuse me. You know, so I don't really think there's a right answer to that. Like, the obvious and, you know, I think knee-jerk response would be like, yes, you know, craft a life that is the best that it can be because you only have one. And like, you have to live a life while you're here. You know, none of us asked to be born. You know, none of us asked to be here. You know, you can say that if you believe in the soul, you could say that, you know, our soul chose this, you know, this vessel, chose this life to live, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, like, but you only get one life. You only get one shot at, you know, at this existence. I only get one chance to be Jim Surratt. Maybe I come back as somebody else or something else. You know, if there's an afterlife, if there's reincarnation, you know, whatever there is, you know, that great unknown, the great beyond, you know, beyond the veil, so to speak. And, you know, so obviously, like, you have to try to live your life the most comfortably as you can. And that, you know, that then, you know, begets, I guess is the right term, you know, or that then suggests that you want to live your life as happily as you can, because what's the point of going through a miserable life if you only get one of them? You know, like, why be a miser? Why be so frustrated and angry all the time that you just hate everything and everybody around you? But does it matter? You know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, like, does your emotion really matter? You know, and I don't think there's a right answer. I'm going to take another Truly break. You know? But getting back to my original point, it's like, I've been so fucking angry lately. You know, like, to the point where, like, you know, it's so stupid. We live in this age where we're so connected to everything and to everybody, you know, through social media, through the internet, through, you know, these phones that we have, and through everything that we have these days. You know, we're so connected, but we're so alone. You know, like, it's really easy, I think, to, like, to say, yeah, like, you know, I have all these Instagram followers and I have all these friends on Facebook and like I have all these people who comment and, you know, like, so there's all this like attention that you get. But what does it actually fucking mean? You know, and like, it's really easy to feel connected, but it's very easy to become isolated. And I think that's kind of where I'm at right now. Is that, you know, I'm connected to all these people, you know, through social media and through, you know, these different levels of spheres of influence and connectivity, you know, but like, I think I'm getting to the point where for whatever reason, and I think it's just right now, like it's not all the time, but you know, for right now, I feel very isolated. And I think it's because I feel so angry and I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to talk about it. And I think that's why I'm here tonight having this conversation with myself and my microphone, is that like, I need to cope with it, you know? And, you know, so for those of you who are still listening and haven't bailed, you know, I thank you for listening to my, you know, monologue diatribe here. You know, my self-directed tirade, so to speak, I guess. But yeah, you know, you start getting really isolated. And like, you know, I think we all wear different hats and we show different faces and we have different faces that we show to the world. And, you know, I'll show one face to my parents and I'll show another face to my brother and I'll show one face to my friends and to the people that I lived with and all this kind of stuff. You know, and at the end of the day, it's like, who really are you? You know, and I think we spend so much time trying to be somebody else for the sake of the interactions that we have with these other people that sometimes we forget who we really are. And I think that's what I'm going through right now, is that like, you know, I'm trying to figure out who I am. And this is an evolving conversation, you know, this is an evolving monologue here. And, you know, so I know that there's been no consecutive thread to it, but the more I talk, the more I start thinking about different things. And so that's, you know, how we've arrived here, is I think I'm trying to figure out who I am. And like, I think I'm angry because I don't really know who I am. You know, like I know what I am. I know what different parts of me are, you know, like I know that I'm a lifter, you know, and that is paramount in my life, you know, for a variety of reasons, you know, and I know that I'm a strength coach. And that's paramount in my life for a variety of reasons. You know, I'm a son and a brother and a friend. You know, I'm all these things, but who am I? You know, and who are all of us? Fuck, I sound hokey right now. But how do you cope with this anger? How do I cope with this anger? Well, you know, I lift, and I know that I've talked about lifting as therapy before, you know, and it's okay to revisit previous topics because, you know, they still ring true, you know, like this morning I went to the gym. I was at the gym at 6 a.m. and I was there until about 10:30. So I spent a good 4.5 hours or so at the gym today, and not once during that time did I feel angry. You know, not once during that time did I have this, like, this sense of frustration or of rage. And, you know, and that's fantastic. You know, like, I think it's important that we all have releases and we all have, like, cathartic moments, you know, that allow us to cope with the things that we feel. Because if you don't cope with it, you know, like I said, it becomes a problem. But like I said, I didn't feel anything. Like, I don't even know if I felt anything, to be honest. Like, I think I was just there. I was just present. And I think for me, that's a good thing. You know, is it like, I was just present in the moment, doing my training, helping my training partners, being around people, you know, who were doing their own thing. Like, you know, so you have all these different, you know, it's a giant Venn diagram. You know, like you have all these people whose circles overlap, you know, whose spheres butt up against each other and, you know, intersect, you know, and everybody's there just doing their thing. And but as soon as I walked in the door, and I don't know why, but as soon as I walk in the door at home, it's like, and I don't know if it's my space that I have here, you know, if I need to change things up, like I don't know if the feng shui is all fucked up or what the situation is, you know, but as soon as I walk in the door, it's like a switch flips. And it's like I go from being this like in this neutral state of just existence, you know, to frustrated and to angry and, you know, to like bothered and irritated at absolutely fucking nothing. You know, there's not a goddamn reason. You know, like I said, work is great, training is great. My people, the people I have around me are great. You know, the clients who I have, you know, my lifting clients, like they're doing like everything in my life, you know, is going great. But as soon as I walk in the door, it's like I'm angry. And I think, you know, maybe it's just an opportunity, like I have this opportunity here to be who I truly am. And I think maybe that's scary and I don't want to face that. You know, I don't want to face who I really am for whatever reason. You know, like there's, you know, just like all of us, you know, we all have aspects of our personality and of our existence that we don't like to confront and we don't like to come face to face with because it's scary and it's frustrating and it's maybe it's embarrassing. You know, there are parts of me that I keep very close to the chest that I don't share with many or any people. You know, and when you're alone in your space, you know, you get to sit and sit with your demons, for lack of a better term. You know, you get to sit with your issues, you get to sit with your bullshit. You know, you get to sit with all of your history and your troubles and your past and your issues. You know, and you have to confront them. And there's no getting away from it. You know, lifting is a release and lifting is an escape. Because while I'm there, all I have to worry about is lifting the weight. That's all I got to do. You know, and I mean, on a physiological level, like it makes you feel better. You know, on a mental, emotional level, it makes you feel better. You know, and I don't know if there's some like, what is it, the denouement? I don't even know how to fucking pronounce that, but like the period after the apex or the climax of a story, you know, like in literature, like there's the climax, like where the story comes to a peak, and then I think there's a period of time, so to speak, where, you know, there's like the resolution, you know, and maybe it's that, like, you know, maybe it's obviously it's the endorphins wearing off and it's that high wearing off, you know, and it's coming back to reality. You know, and that can be a not so fun thing, you know. And I think it just goes to show that there's always stuff that you got to work on. And there's always things that you have to confront and you have to be conscientious and conscious of. You know, because when you are alone in in your space, like my apartment is, there's no one else here. Like I live alone, for better or for worse, usually for the better. Like I refuse to ever live with another human being unless I'm married to that person. You know, but for better or for worse, you know, I am by myself here in my apartment. And, you know, I have plenty of distractions. I was talking to my mom about this today, and I have plenty of distractions. I have the internet, I have my phone, I have video games, I have movies and music and books. Like there's a multitude, there's an almost infinite number of things that I could do with my time to distract myself, you know. But I get to this point where it's like none of that matters, you know. It's almost this like nihilistic view where it's like, eh, fuck it, nothing matters, you know. None of this, you know, because again, you know, on this like cosmic level, you know, we're just these spiritual creatures existing on this earth, and nothing that we do really matters. You know, like immediate influence, yeah, there's value and there's weight and there's gravity to it. You know, like what I do is going to impact somebody else. You know, the way that I coach, the way that I do my job is going to affect somebody else. It's going to affect my athletes. The way that I interact at the gym is going to affect the people around me. You know, and that will have a reciprocal effect on me. You know, but in the grand scheme of things, like, it doesn't fucking matter. And maybe that's what's making me so angry, is that, like, none of it matters. But I don't think that's the case. I really don't. But yeah, but how do you, you know, so I'm curious, you know, and how do you, and I'm talking to, you know, the people who are listening to this, how do you deal with it? You know, what do? You know, how do you cope with your frustration and your anger? You know, because, you know, we all handle it in different ways, and, you know, we all, and it's interesting to think about, you know, like, what does my anger feel like compared to what somebody else's anger feels like? You know, and how do we respectively handle that anger? I don't know. This is like a free therapy session for me. You know, this is like journaling. You know, I don't know if anybody out there is ever a journalist. I don't know. But you know, I don't know if anybody out there has done journaling. You know, but I tried to do it for a while, and it just made me more frustrated and more emotional, because, like, you know, you put ink on paper, and even though it's a temporary thing, like, it can be scratched out and it can be thrown away and crumpled up and torn up and burnt or whatever, you know, it can be discarded and destroyed. You know, you start putting words out there onto paper, you start taking the ethereal and you make it physical. You know, you start taking thought and turning it into matter, and it makes it real. And that's a daunting thing, to be faced with your thoughts and your feelings. To physically engage in the act of writing out your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions, and having to come face to face with those things and, like, actually confront them and actually learn to cope with them is a very daunting task. And it's not fun to put it succinctly. It's not fun. And I think that's why I do this now. And that's why I'm here tonight, is because I don't give a fuck if zero people listen to this. Whatever, you know, if one person listens to it, great, you know, but it's not for you, you know, this episode in particular. You know, maybe other episodes are for other people, you know, the educational episodes, you know, talking about lifting, all that kind of stuff, like, maybe those are for other people, you know, share my knowledge and share the information that I have and help other people. But this is for me. This is for me. You know, this is, you know, AM ham radio, you know, me talking to myself for the sake of hearing my own voice and dealing with my issues and all that kind of stuff. Whatever, I digress. But, you know, I think I'm starting to run out of things to say, which is probably a good thing. You know, maybe I'm figuring it out. You know, but I just get so angry. And I know I've said that 1,000 times, and I'll say it 1,000 more, I'm sure. You know, and it's, I know that I'm angry at myself. And, you know, I have done things in my life that I'm not proud of. And I've done things in my life that have created situations that are not positive, or that were not positive, you know, negative situations that I had to deal with, you know, that I put myself in. And I think I'm angry. I think what's really happening is that I'm reflecting on the past, and I'm angry at myself for things that I have done and for where they have led me. I think that's really what's happening. And, you know, and it's one of those things where it's like, why dwell in the past? Like, the past is done and over with. You know, there's no going back to fix it. You know, again, I was talking to my mom about it today, and she said, can you imagine if we were able to go back in time and correct the things we did in the past? Like, there'd be nobody in the present. There'd be nobody here today, because we'd all be going back and fixing all the fucking mistakes that we did, that we had, that we made in our life. You know, like, there'd be nobody here today, right now, not listening to this podcast. Because we'd all be in the past trying to fix the mistakes that we made, trying to set every little thing that we did wrong right. And, you know, so the past is in the past and it's happened. And, you know, I try to subscribe to the notion that everything happens for a reason. You know, like, some of the stuff that I've experienced in my life was very profound, and I learned a lot from it. And a lot of it was very hard. I, you know, the last, let's call it the last like 3 years, last 3 or 4 years, I've learned a lot of really hard lessons about myself and about how to treat people and how to live a conscientious life and a true, authentic life. And that's, I think that's what's really important. I think that's something I want to highlight, is that you have to live an authentic life. And if you don't, you're going to be angry all the time, because you're not going to be your true self and you're not being true to yourself. And, you know, I don't want to talk about those things on air, you know, but like, for a very long time, I was very untrue to myself. And I hid a lot of things, some very, very important things I hid. And like, I was aware of them, you know, like, I didn't hide them from myself. I hid them from the world. And I hid them from the people around me. And, you know, they, all things eventually manifest. You know, all things, there are no secrets in life. You know, all things will eventually come to a head, and all things will eventually manifest. And they did, in a very negative way, a couple of times. And, you know, I hurt myself very badly by not being true to myself and not being authentic with myself. And, you know, and I learned from that. I learned that you have to be authentic. I have to be authentic. Maybe some people can get away with, you know, being a different, you know, having this, you know, this ulterior persona, you know, ulterior personality, you know, maybe some people can get away with that. I think I did for a while, you know, like I said earlier, you know, we all put on these faces, we all wear different hats, and we all like show different sides of ourselves to different people, you know, but I think that in order to live a truly authentic and true, like truly true, you know, 100% real life, you have to be your authentic self with everybody. I don't think you have to show all sides of yourself to everybody you meet, you know, but you have to be willing to be authentic in everything that you do. You know, be authentic with your words, be precise with your words and with your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions and your actions, you know, and be real and authentic to yourself, because at the end of the day, you're the only person that you have for the entirety of your life. You know, you have your parents, but they'll die. You know, maybe you have siblings, you know, they'll die at some point. You know, if you have, and this is getting fatalistic, you know, but like, if you have a significant other, you know, he or she will eventually die, maybe before or after you, but like, the only person that you have for the whole of your existence on this plane and at this particular moment and across all moments of time is yourself. And you have to be authentic to yourself to live a true life. Because if you don't, you're going to live a dishonest life. And you're going to live your life hiding things and lying to yourself and lying to other people. And that's no way to go through life. You know, but like I was saying, like, you know, everything happens for a reason. You know, like I said, I learned some very important lessons through these actions that I took, through these things that I did. And it was not easy. And it was not comfortable. It was very painful on a number of levels. It was a couple of very painful experiences. You know, it's been a tumultuous, you know, 3 or 4 years. You know, but I really do try to subscribe to the idea that everything happens for a reason. And everything has value if you look hard enough for it. You know, and I can't change anything that's happened in the past. I can't undo anything that I did. You know, I can't take back hurt. I can't, you know, as they say, rebuild a burnt bridge. You know, I can't do any of that. All I can do is keep moving forward. And that's all that any of us can do, is just keep moving forward. You know, and so what sense does it make to live in the past? You know, what sense does it make to dwell on things that have happened, you know, and that are done and over with? Well, I think what happens is that there are these echoes through time, you know, like there's like think about time as a pond or as a, you know, body of water, and like you drop in a rock, you know, or, you know, you throw a stone into a lake and it causes ripples, right? You know, that stone is an event. That stone is an action or a deed or a moment in time. And while the focal point of that event is, you know, localized to a very precise area and a very precise moment, a very precise period of time, a finite amount of time, the ripples that it causes, or that cause, yeah, ripples that it will cause, extend out, you know, almost into infinity. You know, like, so 4 years ago, you know, I went through a moment of time. You know, I had a big old fucking rock dropped in my lake, and it's still making ripples. You know, I still deal with the things with, I still deal with issues and consequences. I still deal with consequences from that moment, you know? And so I think that we can never escape the past, and we can never truly separate ourselves from it. You know, we can distance ourselves from it. You know, we get further and further from that focal point, further and further from the place where the rock dropped in the water, you know, but the ripples will keep going. You know, everybody's thrown a rock into a pond or into a lake, and like, you know, the bigger the rock, the bigger the ripples and the further out they go, right? You know, I had a couple of really big fucking rocks over the last couple of years. And so I'm still feeling that ripple. And, you know, and sometimes I'm at the valley and sometimes I'm at the peak. You know, like, it's a wave, right? You know, there's the trough and the peak. And sometimes I'm in the trough and I don't feel as much. And sometimes I'm at the peak and I feel a lot. And I think right now I'm at the peak. And, you know, just like waves, you know, it'll eventually roll on through. It'll eventually crash and it'll dissipate, you know, and then maybe another one comes back through and I'm at the peak again, you know, and I ride that wave until it's done, until it peters itself out. But yeah, I think that's what's going on, is that, you know, this, I'm dealing with the ripples, and I'm sorry for abusing this metaphor, but I think it makes a lot of sense, and I think it's a very good visual description, you know, of what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. You know, like, I had this huge rock dropped in my fucking lake, and it fucking, oh man, it shook shit up. And I'm still feeling it. And I'm feeling it right now. You know, and maybe in a few days I won't feel it as keenly. You know, maybe it'll be more intense. I don't know. You know, but I just have to, I have to allow myself to feel these things, because I think it's important. I think if you don't allow yourself to feel these things, like, all you do is bury them, especially, again, as men. You know, men are supposed to be strong, you know, and hard, you know, and it's okay to not be that. It's okay to be vulnerable. You know, it's not okay to wallow, and I'm trying really hard not to do that. It's not okay to drown in your sorrow or in your grief or in your despair or your frustration or your anger or your rage. It's not okay to let it consume you. It is okay to feel things, and it is okay to ride it out. And so I think part of my anger and part of my frustration is being caught in that space between, like, I'm not going to let this consume me, but I don't want to feel it at the same time, you know, and it's like, it's trying to figure that out, you know? So I think it's this, like, multifaceted, you know, ember of anger going on right now. And, you know, there's really only a couple things that quiet it down, you know, and lifting is one of those things. So, you know, I'm very thankful to kind of change gears here and start wrapping things up. You know, I'm very thankful that I have that, because if I didn't, I don't know what I would do. You know, like, it quiets, it literally just, it dampens everything down, because, you know, you have no choice. You know, when you're underweight, you know, whether you're squatting or benching or deadlifting or fuck, even if you're doing bodybuilding shit, you know, if you're just physically active, if you're doing something, if you're engaging in some sort of active behavior or active action, you don't have time to think and to feel, you know, at least not on a conscious level, I don't think. You know, I think subconsciously or unconsciously, like, you're always processing stuff. I don't think you ever stop processing things. I think when you stop processing things, you die, or it's because you're dead, you know. But, you know, I'm very thankful that I have lifting, because it's, you know, when you're under, like I said, when you're under a squat bar, especially when it's a maximal amount of weight, and, you know, it's either do or die, you know, like, do things right or you're going to get hurt. You know, you don't have time to think about anything else. You don't have the opportunity. There's no space in your mind or in your brain or your consciousness to think of anything but that survival. But I can't lift all the time. You know, I can't lift 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So at some point, I have to learn how to cope with this, and I have to learn how to handle it. So, all right, well, I'm going to wrap this up, but I thank you all for listening. For the one person on the Instagram Live, I appreciate it. And as always, do not waste the pain.